This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister Mary. How you doing, Bear?
What's up, everybody?
Not much. And we are back here to talk about The Office.
This week.
This week we're doing Season 5, Episodes 7 and 8, Customer Survey and Business Trip, is it?
Yes.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, yes, Business Trip. But before we jump into this week's show, we'd like to forge ahead. What did we cover last week, Bear?
So last week, we covered Crime Aid, which basically started off with Michael and Holly having sex in the office.
Yeah.
And then they don't lock the door behind them. And somebody breaks in and steals all of the computers, their laptops, Kevin's surge protector, everything. So Michael decides he's going to have Crime Aid, which is essentially an auction of people's goods and services, to raise money so that they could buy all their stuff back. Of course, it goes awry and nobody really wants to spend money on stuff. We see Roy reappear.
Yep.
He comes in. He's been working
vitamin shop.
At a vitamin shop, yes. And then David Wallace shows up. Oh, also, Angela and Andy set a date, so Dwight gives her an ultimatum and says, him or me, she chooses Andy. Yeah. Shocker. And then David Wallace finds out that Michael and Holly are dating.
You missed the biggest part here, is that Michael claimed to have Springsteen's
ticket. Oh, yeah.
And had Jack
that's,
and shit.
That's how he got everybody to join.
Yeah, and it was just bullshit. And Wallace finds out about Holly and Michael and takes action. In the next episode.
Well, we don't know that, yeah. In the next episode, Employee Transfer, we find out that David Wallace is transferring Holly back to Nashua.
Yes.
In New Hampshire, which is 7 hours away. And then we watch the demise of their relationship on that seven-hour trip along. Poor Daryl is along for the ride.
It unfolds, definitely.
Yeah, that's for sure. We also got a sneak peek at how The Office does Halloween very well.
Yeah, much better than season two.
Which we both thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, a stupid storyline, Dwight pretends to apply to Cornell, Andy does his entrance exam.
And spoiler alert, it goes nowhere, and this week it's not even mentioned.
Yeah, and they play a tug of war over a fucking table.
Yeah.
Stupid. And that's really what you missed on Glee.
Yeah, so we're kicking off. Before we jump into the episode 7 customer survey, anything you want to give, like initial thoughts or anything like that? Is this a episode that you remember fondly or that you had preconceived notions about that you changed or anything?
No, it was pretty much the way I remembered it. It's a solid episode, but you'll see as we go through.
I don't remember this one at all.
No, I remember this one because the mugs are great.
The mugs turn out to be a nice little device they use. But if you want, go ahead.
All right, we'll start it right off here, guys. So with the cold open, Dwight is walking into Michael's office. He's congratulating him on his apparent engagement.
I should have mentioned this 2 seconds ago. I don't get this cold open. It makes no sense, and it's stupid.
So, the end of the last episode, remember... so we didn't cover this in our recap, but
no.
Daryl's like, it's okay, Michael. Like, when I'm down and after a breakup, I like to sing the blues.
He does the blues,
And Michael's like, we didn't break up. So Michael's refusing to accept that he and Holly are broken up.
I understand that, but where did this whole proposal...
I feel like this is like Michael, like, I can't tell them that I'm broken up with her.
So he made it even worse.
Yeah, because then we see Daryl doing a talking head. He's like, listen, I was there. I saw the whole thing. Dude is not engaged.
I would pay his co-pays for
I don't believe in therapy, but I would dip into my own pocket for his co-pays.
Yeah.
And then we see Andy, Meredith, Phyllis, Jim, Kevin. They're all in the office congratulating him, asking him questions. Andy suggests a double wedding, and Michael says that him and Holly would only do that with Jim and Pam if they would do it. And Jim said, nope, we're not doing it. He goes, no, see, then it would never happen. Then Kelly walks in and says that she bought her bridesmaid's dress already. And since he didn't give her a color, she bought white, which is classic Kelly Kapoor.
Upstage the bride.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, what did your mom say? You and your mom are so close. He's like, oh, didn't tell her yet. So then they make him call her,
yeah.
Puts her on speakerphone.
Why didn't he just lie and say, oh, she's really happy? Like, this whole thing is just stupid.
I don't know. And then Michael calls his mom. And his mom, like, actually, he's like, "Mom, I'm getting married." She goes, "No, you're not." And he goes, "Why don't you ever believe me when I tell you I'm getting married?"
Yeah.
Like, this isn't the first time this has happened. And then Michael hangs up on her and confesses that they're not engaged.
Yep.
And that's the cold open.
Yeah, it was just kind of random.
It was like a little bit of a continuation of the last episode, and him, but in not denial, really. Yeah. And him in denial of the relationship ending, but at the same time, totally opposite direction.
Yeah, I just didn't dig it.
Yeah. So then we have Kelly walking into Michael's office, saying that she returned her dress, but it was on sale. She's out $100, and he's like, "Oh, do you have my customer surveys?" And she, like, slides the receipt in there. Michael throws it away. And he describes Kelly as their dusky, exotic customer service representative. And that once a year, she contacts all of the clients to basically ensure that they're happy with their
sales
service. Men. Yeah. Like, just to get a score of them, mm-hmm. essentially. And Jim, in a talking head, explains that this affects their yearly bonus. And then, like, Pam... He makes a comment like, "Oh, Pam's a gold digger," like, sarcastically.
We hear her chime in.
"New York ain't cheap." So she went out and she bought the world's smallest Bluetooth headset, and it's, like, literally the size of your inner ear.
Yeah, it's like a thumbnail.
Yeah. Because they want to be on the phone together, and Dunder Mifflin frowns upon 8-hour personal calls.
Also, it should be noted that Michael, when talking about Kelly coming in, with the list of salespeople and the customer reviews, refers to it as Kapoor's list, kind of like Schindler's list.
Oh, my
list.
God, yeah. But then nobody's, he's like, nobody in the West has done a black and white movie of it.
Then he just goes like, that was bad, or yeah. Something like that. He, like, catches himself after he says
Kapoor's
it.
Kapoor's list.
That, like, was not Schindler's, that was list. Not tasteful.
God. And then we see who is with Pam. It is the punchable jerk face.
I actually have down here, I wrote in my notes, douchey guy.
Yeah.
Douchey
guy.
Oh,
I have jerk face in my notes.
Yeah, because Mr. I'm going to wear a t-shirt with a blazer. Like, fuck you.
You He's and your, artistic,
his
Kevin.
Stupid face.
So anyway, Dwight is getting his yearly review, and it's, like, actually terrible.
Yeah, not good. And what are the three words they use to describe him?
Let's see.
Aggressive.
Aggressive, hostile. And, oh, I have it written down here later.
We're going to get there.
Difficult.
Difficult. All
there
right.
We go. But anyway, in his actual review, Michael says that his client said his personal style is abrasive and distasteful. And Dwight thinks it's, like, a joke, like, "Oh, haha, that's impossible. They can't think that of me." So then we see Andy and Jim, and they are in the kitchen. Now, mind you, this entire episode, Pam is in Jim's ear and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I also want to point out here before, mm-hmm. Andy, when did Andy get this bad haircut? Like, I realized in this episode, it's almost like a bowl cut.
Yeah.
Like, he's got bangs. Like, I thought he used to, like, comb it up or something.
Yeah.
Like, his hair in these two episodes, it's like a Lego man, like a Newt Gingrich haircut. It's horrible.
Ew.
It looks horrible.
Yeah, no, you are right. No, his hair is pretty terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, we really hate Andy.
Everything about him, his face, his fucking voice, his character, I hate everything.
I don't mind Ed Helms' face.
No, Andy's face. Because he, like, plays up like the, like a fucking cartoon character.
I guess. He is a caricature.
He's got a rubber face. Yeah.
He's a caricature of Michael Scott.
Yeah. Oh,
that's essentially what he is. But anyway, Andy's like, "Oh, my scores were really good on my review." Like, and Jim is... And then it's, like, weird because this is kind of, like, a strange situation for me to explain. Like, Jim is drinking his coffee, and then Andy gets mad because Jim is using his mug, and
it's got a picture of Andy's face on it.
It's like a blue star with Andy's face on it.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, "Oh, are you sure this is your mug?" And he literally, like, puts the mug up to his face. Which, I mean, why would Jim take it, though? Like, that's pretty apparent.
Because Jim's an asshole.
Yeah. And so then we see Dwight back at his desk. And he's just pissed.
Yeah.
And Jim is explaining Dwight's mood to Pam. And Dwight, not knowing that Jim has the world's smallest Bluetooth in his ear, overhears him, but he doesn't know he's on the phone with Pam. So Dwight is saying, like, "I'm being sabotaged. There's no way these are my scores." And Jim's like, "Or you could just be nice to your customers." And so now it's Jim's turn.
Yeah, Jim gets called in.
Yes. Now, sidebar, Andy found a tentist.
Who Shangri-La
did,
tent.
Yes, who did Giuliani's first and third wedding.
That's hilarious. That's low-key hilarious.
And so now we're back in Jim's review, and it's also horrible.
Michael describes it as poopy.
Yeah, like to the point where Jim like actually hangs up on Pam.
Yeah, he hits the button. It goes doo-doo.
And she's like, hello there.
It was 1940s radio. Yeah. Hey, are you there, huh?
Apparently. It's the first telephone. But Jim's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, how could that be? And he goes, and Michael says, it says here that you are smudge and arrogant. And Jim goes, smug. And he goes, ah, there's the arrogance. And Jim's like, well, I don't understand how that could happen. He goes, and there's the smudgeness.
Smudgeness.
So now Jim explains that he's not at the right moment to have a bad review because he's in the middle of buying his parents' house so they can retire. And no, Pam does not know he's buying a home.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah. Again, like, Jim's making these decisions that are going to affect his wife, but he's not talking to her about
them. Fiance.
Well, soon to be wife.
Oh, yeah.
Assumed wife, we'll say.
Yeah. Betrothed.
But, yeah, that's just like a weird thing to do.
Right? Yeah, that he's buying a house. Because, like,
what if she hates it?
Her?
Yeah. What if it's like an Everybody Loves Raymond situation where, like,
it's across the street from her in-laws?
Well, not only that, but, like, she doesn't hate, she has her own style. Yeah. The mom and daughter, like, mother-in-law and daughter or wife clash, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't feel like Pam is that strong and of an opinionated woman, though.
She's getting that way. She's growing before our very eyes. Our young Pam Flower.
Ew.
What?
Pam Flower?
Pam Flower.
I don't like that.
She's blossoming.
Ew. That's gross.
I'm not even being sexual.
I know, but it's just Pam Flower. Okay. Just doesn't go.
All right. Anyway.
So anyway, Michael decides that since Jim and Dwight had such terrible reviews, he's basically going to give them a training, like a training session.
Yep.
So Dwight is going to be the salesman and Jim is going to be the customer. Now this, he did say, Dwight, you need to sell to this customer without being aggressive, hostile, or difficult. So Jim answers the phone and says, my name is Bill Buttlicker. And Dwight goes, really? And Jim, of course, fucking with Dwight, but the Buttlickers built this country, son. And Michael is like, be respectful, Dwight. Be respectful. So then
Jim goes on hold.
Jim goes on hold, and he's just goading him at this point. Oh, I have this stupid salesman on the other line. I'm just going to keep him on there and not buy anything.
But Michael's taking it seriously. Like, you have to win him over, Dwight.
Yeah, he's like, this is your job. You need to win it. So now Jim comes back, and Dwight's like, oh, hello, yes, Mr. Buttlicker. Our prices have never been lower. And Jim's like, I'm hard of hearing. You're going to have to speak up. And, like, Michael is taking the side of the customer. He's like, you have to speak up. Speak more loudly. So then Dwight's voice raises.
Keeps escalating.
And eventually Jim's like, louder, son! And Dwight yells, Buttlicker! Our prices have never been lower! And Michael's like, you never yell at the client, Dwight.
Dwight's having like a conniption.
He is.
Like, I don't think we're doing justice to how funny this whole scene is.
No, no, I'm not at all.
This scene is fucking amazing.
But he's like, no, no, please, Mr. Buttlicker, please. He's like, I have to give you to my manager. And Michael takes over and he goes, yes, hello, this is Michael Scott, the manager. How can I help you? And of course, Jim, you know what, Michael? I like the way you sound. I'm going to buy $1 million in paper. And Michael's like, it's almost like it's really
Dwight's celebrating.
Oh my God, $1 million.
Dwight's like, you still got it, Mike. Yeah.
And he goes, but I have one condition. You must fire that salesman who was so disrespectful to me. And Michael, like, almost doesn't know what to do.
He actually covers up the
he
phone.
He does. He's like, and Dwight's like, Michael, you can't do it. And he goes, it's $1 million sale and scene. And it was perfect.
It was. The scene was money. It was great.
The way that Michael just, like, completely bought into it, like, Dwight, you don't yell at the client. You have to be respectful.
He was like an actor who committed. You know? Like, it was really good.
It was really awesome. So then we have Angela and Andy. They're reviewing the tents. And as Andy would describe, this is a really tasteful, simple, elegant scent.
It's two stories,
heated. It has a bridal suite. And Angela said she doesn't want to be married in a tent like a hobo. And that Nana Mimi can't be in canvas that long.
Curious.
Yeah,
well, very curious.
That's such a strange thing.
And
to
Andy,
say.
Andy once again almost blows his top, but he keeps it under control.
Yeah,
he's like Nana Mimi.
Nana Mimi doesn't matter. So anyway, and Angela's like, fine, that tent is fine, but only if it's in a hand plowed field with a barn on location that has that you can see the stars through the slats of the barn when you lay on your back. And there's antique tools to look at.
When you roll over.
When you roll over. Also, it has to be within a 5 to 8 mile radius.
Which, I will say, I did some research on people say the location of Shroot Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
No.
They claim that it's in Honesdale. Now, Honesdale is not 5 or 8 miles.
I wish it was 5 or 8 miles.
It's in a completely different county. I'd say about 45 minutes away from Scranton.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I don't know if that's a fan theory that Shroot Farm is in Honesdale.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, in all honesty, I could see Jefferson Township.
Newton Ransom over the mountains.
Newton Ransom.
Yeah, up the hill.
Or even like a Scott Township, Clifford area.
Yeah, we're talking some of the bumble...
That's some local.
Yeah, the bumblefuck regions on the outskirts of Scranton, yes.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like people who are listening, maybe one lives in one of those townships. They're like, hey!
Hey, call out! It's like when Ryan comes back and he goes, yes, they had the pudding at a Rite Aid or at a gas station in Carbondale.
Yeah, and everybody who lives in Carbondale just goes,
oh, yeah! So anyway, Andy is on the mission now.
Mm-hmm.
So Dwight grabs Jim. Like, literally, this scene is so ridiculous.
Jim walks outside and, as if he's expecting, he's looking for Dwight.
Yeah, and Dwight rolls up in his Grand Am.
I don't know what. His 80s muscle car, we'll say. Something that has, like, a design on the hood, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has, like, an eagle or some shit. Like, a phoenix, probably. And they, like, he pulls up, like,
right in front of the building.
Jim gets in, and then he, like, pulls away, like, skid marks on the fucking parking lot to park in a spot.
Yeah, in a spot 10 feet away.
And then he starts blasting Angel as a Centerfold. And, oh, that's all Pam hears.
He's doing that to drown out any possible bugs.
Because he thinks that customer service might be listening to their conversations.
I love paranoid Dwight.
I do,
He's
too.
He's so great.
He's convinced that someone is behind these bad reviews that him and Jim both got. And Jim is, like, Pam's like, oh, cute shoes online. And Jim is, like, having a conversation with her. Like, how many shoes do you need? And Dwight goes, three. Two, maybe three, in case one wears out.
Why?
Yeah.
How many do you need, Jim?
And Jim's like, I'm not talking to you. And he's like, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm talking to Pam. And he goes, Pam's not here. Like, he's concerned for Jim in this moment.
Because earlier, when Jim went in for his review, Pam said, good luck, I love you. And he said, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight's like, what do you think I'm saying to you? And he's like, freaking out. Jim, like... I swear to God, Dwight thinks he has, like, schizophrenia.
Yeah, like, Jim, he's actually concerned for Jim, which is kind of cute. But it just confuses Dwight even more.
And also, like, Dwight at one point mentions that Dunder Mifflin may be a front for money laundering.
Oh, yeah, and he goes, but there's little evidence of that. And Jim goes, there's some evidence of that? Yeah. And Dwight kind of just, like, shrugs.
Yeah,
like,
he just goes on with his plan, like, we're being sabotaged.
So now, we're back up in the office, and Andy has found the perfect location for the wedding. It's a B&B on a 60-acre beet farm, and he knows the owner, Mr. Dwight Schrute of Schrute Farms.
Yeesh.
So, 60 acres.
That's big. That's nice. I mean, when we went there last time, it did seem rather expansive, I will say.
It did. I mean, Moe's... like, ran along the car.
Mode's running. Oh, good.
And it did seem pretty desolate out
there. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's out in the middle of nowhere.
So now, Dwight is in the middle of a sale talking to a customer, and the customer's like, I need to double my paper. And then Dwight goes, no, shut up.
Shut.
And the guy's like, what? And he goes, are you breathing? The guy's like, am I? Yeah, I'm breathing. He goes, stop it. Do you hear that? He's convinced that Kelly is listening in, and he even goes, Kelly, is that you? So now, he, like, just literally puts the phone down. Doesn't hang up, and the guy's like, I need paper. If I was Jim, I'd have just snapped it right up.
Hello, this is Jim Halper.
Hello, yes. How much? You wanted to double your paper.
You gotta do the Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello!
The cake on the face and everything. So now, Dwight walks back to Kelly, like, in a rampage.
Yeah.
And Jim, like, walks up behind him, and he's like, all right, Dwight, come on, let's leave. And Dwight's like, I know you did something to our reviews. She's like, what are you accusing me of, Dwight? And he goes, I know you did something. Like, and he just, like, starts berating her, essentially. Mm-hmm. And Kelly's like, get out of my nook, Dwight! And then all you hear is Pam on the Bluetooth in the middle of her corporate office going, that's what she said, that's what she said, that's what she said. Which I can only imagine what the corporate office.
Well, they should, like, the workers. People all startled like, around
what
her.
What the hell?
Yeah, they're all startled.
That lady's got Tourette's, I think. She's from Scranton.
Tourette's.
So now.
I miss Tourette's guy.
I know, right?
Stupid videos. Really stupid.
Don't talk shit about Total.
You know, when he just, like, hits the fucking salt shaker, he goes, fuck salt! I don't know why. It's like 2 seconds. It's 2 seconds of heaven for me.
So now, Jim walks in the kitchen, and he sees Kelly there, and he's getting coffee or whatever, and he's like, listen, I'm really sorry about Dwight, you know, he's just really upset about his review. And Kelly's like, oh yeah, he's weird. And Jim says something else, and she's
like, how are you and Daryl?
Oh yeah. And she's like, oh, we're cool. And then she, like, gets her stuff and she, like, walks away, and Pam's like, that's weird. And Jim's like, what do you mean? And
she's like, well, when have you ever talked to Kelly and she hasn't shut up?
Yeah, like for 15 minutes straight. Mm. And Jim kind of like, you're right.
Something is amiss.
So he walks up to Ryan and he's like, hey, do you know if Kelly's mad at me? And Ryan, in one of the better monologues of this episode. This is hilarious.
So good.
I don't play the politics game anymore, Jim. I played it full on in New York. Played for keeps. I was at the top. Like, and he starts
almost
going
like he's
on.
An old guy at the beginning of a movie, yeah. Talking to, like, a young kid. Exactly. Like, explaining the backstory. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious.
And he's drinking coffee during this whole thing. And then that's when Jim notices the mug. Mm-hmm. It's a blue star with Ryan's face on it. And he asked Ryan, like, oh, where'd you get that mug? And he goes, oh, Kelly gave it out as favors at her America's Got Talent finale party over the summer. And he's like, you must have gotten one. You were there, right? It was packed. Everybody was there.
Mm.
And Pam tells Jim, like, explains to him, like, I told you to go to that party, but you came to visit me instead. Probably because she guilt-tripped him about a T-ball game the week before.
Exactly. I was going to say, that was your plan, Pam. Jesus.
But Jim then starts noticing Angela has a mug. Mm. Meredith has a mug. He goes into the cabinet in the kitchen, and there's Creed's, Oscar's, Phyllis's. Yep. Everybody's got a damn mug.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Dwight and Jim. So now Jim puts it together that she's mad at them for not going to her party. So now we have Michael, Dwight, and Jim.
It is funny that Angela went without Dwight.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
well, Dwight
they were
gone.
Broken up by
yeah,
then.
But he
it was
gone.
The summer.
He would have gone, though, to be close to Monkey.
I guess Monkey. That's so weird. So now the three of them are in Michael's office, and Michael is questioning Kelly. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Michael. And Dwight, like, goes
he's playing
off
the
on
bad
his
cop.
Speech, and he's like, let me tell you a story about a little girl from South India who came to America and was welcomed, and then she's going to prison. And he, like, does this whole dark storyline.
Yeah.
And Jim explains, like, listen, we called a dozen of our clients, and they all said that they gave us great reviews. And Michael's like, Kelly, and she's like, Michael, I love your tie. And he's like, oh, thank you, Kelly. And then she just goes, I was raped.
That shouldn't be a punchline,
and
but
no,
it's so
it
great.
It should not be a punchline.
It's so great,
but
though.
I love Michael's response. Kelly, you can't say that and expect your problems to go away. Not again. You can't keep doing that.
She just, the girl who cried rape
oh my
is
God.
Her character.
The fuck?
That's so dark.
Oh.
It's so twisted.
He's like, you can't do that for attention anymore.
Anymore.
Like, that's what I love. Like, that's not a punchline.
That
punch
there's
line.
A track record.
It's not a punchline, but he's like, you can't expect all your problems to go away. Not again. Like, what the fuck? How many times has Kelly Kapoor done this?
She relies on rape.
Apparently.
It's unbelievable.
So now Kelly confesses, and she's like, you know what, though? You guys said you would try to come to my party, and you didn't even try. You didn't come for any of it. You guys are bad friends. And Dwight's
like, that's spoken like such a 12-year-old,
yeah.
You know?
And Dwight's like, all right, I think, let's pack her shit up. Like, he's like, I want her fired.
On the spot.
And Michael's like, all right, give me a second. And he's like, will you call me back when she's getting fired? I want to see it. Like, Dwight's fucking sadistic, too.
Mm-hmm.
So now.
No, he wants his pound of flesh.
Yeah.
This is like all.
But, like, he wants to watch her
oh,
get
yeah.
fired.
He's like, you fucked me over. I'm going to fuck you
exactly.
over.
Exactly. So now Michael is explaining to Kelly, it's just the two of them, and he goes, listen, I cannot explain to you the problem I have getting people to come over to my house. You have no idea how much leftover guacamole I've had to eat over the years. I don't even know why I make it in such great quantities.
Which is a weird verbal joust for him to use.
And he's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pretend that I'm yelling at you. If you could cry. He's like, can you make yourself cry? And she's like, yeah, I can do that. So then she's like, and then they both start laughing.
They just look at each other and start laughing. Because like they're like, she got away with it. Seriously. Because Michael just doesn't want to fire anybody.
He doesn't want to fire anybody. He's like, you know what? I've been there.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do that, too.
He wants friends. So, like, he feels kinship with Kelly because two people, shit on it like that.
Which, I wonder, did Kelly invite Michael to her party?
We never saw his. He only drinks out of the world's greatest boss mug.
Yep, exactly. And you know that if he had a mug with his face on that, he could say, my friend gave this to me. He would. So, now we're back at Pam at corporate.
Yep.
And very punchable face, jerk face, comes in.
Douchey guy.
He comes in, and he's like, hey, Pam, I'm come to kidnap you for some guy's retrospective. That's what he called it.
Yeah, it's like a painter's kind of thing.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, well, I'm at work, so I can't really go. And he goes, can we talk somewhere in private? And
you notice there are people looking at her, like the people in the office are like, aren't you engaged?
Yeah. And Jim's like, all right, I want to talk to this guy. Put me in his ear.
Yeah, he's like being funny about it.
Which I thought was, like, how else are you going to?
Yeah.
You can't be like, Pam, do not go with him.
Well, he's not that guy anyway. Roy, though.
Roy, yeah.
Roy would be like, I'm going to fucking drive to New York and kill this guy.
Just going to trash a bar.
Yeah, no, throw fucking shot glasses at a mirror.
So he takes, they go into an empty conference room. And he's basically like, listen, you've only been here for 3 months. I don't think you should go back. You can't do New York in 3 months. There's so much to do out here. The whole art scene and da-da-da. And Pam's like, yeah, but Jim's in Scranton. Like, and Jim's like, okay, like, I know you're into her. What the fuck? Mm. He's just, like, sitting there.
He's just listening.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't want you to wait, in 50 years and regret leaving. And Pam and Jim are just kind of silent. And Alex, we find out his name is Alex. He leaves. And that's when, of course, Dwight is crouched down next to Jim. And he says, like, oh, that's the Yakuzuma or whatever the fuck it's called.
You say the Yakuzuma?
I don't know.
That's what Virgil referred to Yokozuna as at the 1992 Survivor Series. He got beat up, and then afterwards,
that's where I
did. Yeah, totally. I know you did, because afterwards he's like, "You gotta watch that Yakuzuma."
Yeah, that's exactly where I got it from. I've been watching SummerSlam. Yeah, you've been past
Survivor Series, ma'am.
Survivor Series.
You've been watching old wrestling. I knew it.
Can I just be proud that I know SummerSlam?
I'll give you a dap on that.
But anyway, he realizes that it's a Bluetooth, and he's like, can I touch it? And Jim, like, slaps his hand away. So now, here we are. Angela, Andy, and Dwight are in the conference room meeting about the wedding. Again, planning wedding on company time. Because that's all Andy
has
done. That's
all anybody in this fucking office does. God, nobody works in this fucking office.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I feel like Stanley.
Yeah, it just runs on like autopilot.
Stanley, Oscar, and Phyllis are the only ones putting time in
here. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
So, Dwight gives them a photo album to show them like, oh, we can do like our fields and our land can be catered to anything you want and da-da-da-da-da. I will work day and night for you and whatever your pleasure is. Like, and he's just staring at Angela this whole time. And he's like, you can stop by any day or night.
Yeah.
But as they're looking through this photo album, it looks like stuff from, like, the pre-Civil War. There's a woman, like, she's holding her bouquet. There's an American flag in the background. The husband, who looks like he's 60 years old.
Do you know who that guy was?
No.
The guy in the picture, the first picture, the guy in the rocking chair? That is the funeral home guy from the job fair episode.
Oh my god.
That's
you're
him.
Right.
That's him.
Holy
sitting
shit.
In the rocking chair with the fucking gaunt face. Yeah. And everything. Yeah, that's who that is.
Oh my god, that makes
the Undertaker.
So much more
the
sense.
Undertaker from job fair, yeah.
Which I think we talked about how fitting he was as an Undertaker.
How he looked like he drank formaldehyde.
He looked like death. Yeah. Like that's what I assume the Angel of Death looks like. Like, hey, Mary, time's up. Let's go.
Time's up. Come in my black
carriage. What was Dwight like? But anyway, like, it's just really weird, like, very forced pictures.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, oh, you know, this wedding will be off your hands. And Andy's like, ah, deal. They shake hands. And then Andy goes, as long as the price is right. And Dwight's like, you already shook. It's a deal. Like, there's yeah, no getting out of it. Yeah, then Angela says,
pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah. And that's how we fucking end the episode.
Yeah.
Now, Dwight is now in charge of Angela and Andy's wedding, which he's been trying to sabotage since the get-go.
So now he's on the inside to destroy it from the inside. Yeah. Overall, I give this one a 4.3. Like I said, I don't think we did justice to the Jim and Dwight parts. Because they were, like, rapid fire and, like...
Well, and that's just it. And if I was, like...
We should have acted them out. We should have acted them out.
We should have. I just didn't want to go too far into, like, actually doing the dialogue. Yeah. But that part was actually really fantastic. And
the fact that Pam was in his ear the whole time, it was fluid.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, stilted or anything like that. It actually kind of worked. Mm-hmm. Although I do laugh that, like, Pam is... Like, when they're at the Scranton branch, they're watching everybody and doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when they're at the corporate office, they're just on Pam. So she's at her desk all day, talking to herself, essentially. And there's just a camera guy in front of her videoing her saying things to herself because Jim's not there.
Yep.
So, but 4.3 because I thought it was funny. The cold open I did not get. Like, I get it because, oh, it's Michael just trying to salvage a situation, but he fucks it up as usual. Okay.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. The tents and the stuff with Angela and Andy.
No,
it's okay. Like, Andy was actually okay in this episode.
Because he wasn't super obnoxious.
No. And, you know, next episode he is obnoxious, but I like it. It's the first time.
Yeah, next episode is good.
It's the first time they somehow swung it in that favor. And I don't know how they did it, but they did it. But, it was really good. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, blow away. Yeah. It wasn't, like, an all-timer or anything like that. It was just really good.
I gave it a 3.7.
Okay.
I thought it was a solid ep. Yeah. I feel like I keep on saying that about this season. Like, it's a solid episode.
Which is all you can ask for from a television show in its fifth season.
It was really funny. It showed Kelly's vindictive side.
Yeah, Kelly's a bitch.
And we kind of got a possible wrench for Jim and Pam.
And everybody on this show is evil. Everyone on this show has, like, evil qualities.
I did love, like, Ryan's whole, like, I don't play the politics game. Played it hard. I played it for keeps in New York.
Yeah, he cuts this, like, vaudeville monologue. But, like, that's the thing is, like, Kelly was the only one that you saw as, like, almost, like, childlike and, like, pure. But, like, turns out she's, like, a real mean girl.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's, she
like,
is.
There's nobody on the show who
she
has,
she wanted,
like,
to wear white. She wore white to Phyllis's wedding. And then she wanted to wear white as a bridesmaid in Michael's wedding.
It's just like everybody on this show has like so many flaws.
Oh, which she's is so cool. Narcissistic. She has an attention issue.
No, she's an insane person. She's like a clinical like a psych patient. Because what did she do? I mean, the juicing thing. Like Kelly, like claiming rape and stuff like that. Like she's a mental patient. Like the shit with Ryan, where she's like faking with Daryl and stuff like that. Like she's a nut. Which is entertaining, though. She's really good at it. But, like, overall...
You can't expect all your problems to go away. Not again.
Also, I also love the fact that Michael was not a focal point. Because I think we've got, like, shoveled so much with him and Holly this season that it was nice that they took a step back. Jim and Dwight. Not Jim and Pam, but Jim and Dwight kind of took the lead in this one.
I love Jim and Dwight together.
This was the first time we're,
they're back and forth, like...
Do you know what I really
Dwight
liked about
an
it?
Active participant is fantastic.
Do you know what I really liked about it? Is what? That they worked in tandem. Usually with Jim and Dwight, it's like Jim being a dick and Dwight fighting back.
It's against each other.
Yeah, this one they worked in tandem and it really worked well. I liked it.
Oh,
it was like a different take and it was good.
Yeah, I love their dynamic and their chemistry. It's freaking fantastic.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, I'm good on this episode.
All right. So, we are going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to do Season 5, Episode 8, Business Trip. And we'll do that. Right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thanks for joining us for the second half of the show. You are here at the halftime portion of the show. This is also the portion of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. And I'm going to tell you about some of the shows that they have going on over at the Pop Feed, where you can find the hard-traveling fanboys as they go off the page to continue Arrow Month with a look at the two best episodes of the series. This week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger, Johnny, and Senior recapping the last set of games. And I doubt they'll be previewing the upcoming games, although the XFL is now in season. I enjoyed the first...
Is that a real sport?
Yes. Oh, it's real football. And they have actual guys who played in the league. They're like, yesterday... So we're recording this on a Sunday. We watched the first weekend. The first game with Jim Zorn as the coach of the Seattle Dragons was fucking entertaining. It was some of the most fun I've had watching football in a long time.
Really?
It was like... Because they're doing different things. That a kicker missed a field goal... And as soon as he comes off the field, they have sideline interviews during the game. They don't do that in the NFL.
Wait, okay.
So they're like, you just missed that field goal. How do you feel?
I was going to say, I just saw that meme.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, the XFL allows this. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the coaches, you know how, like, they hold their, you know, their Denny's menus up over their mouths while their coaches are mic'd up, too. So you can hear them calling the plays and everything like
that. Oh, my
that.
God.
They're like, Spider 2, Y, Banana. It's so awesome. They have a camera in the replay booth so you can actually see how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Wow, Vince McMahon really nobody has any privacy in that man's world, do they?
They got rid of the extra point kick. So now you can go for 1, 2, or 3 points by running one play from the 2, the 5, or the 10. Kickoffs are like, there's so much variance with the kickoffs. That's just all. I actually enjoyed it very much, and I look forward to watching some more of the games, honestly. So, siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast.
Fwah, fwah, fwah!
On the latest Diamond Conversations, Expos Fest founder Perry Giannis sits down to explain the event. On the newest weekly show, It Was a Thing on TV, host Mike, Greg, and Chico bring you a triad of TV obscurities. Tim Capel returns to Laugh in Theater to join Andy Atherton for a live watch of the Bill Murray classic Groundhog Day. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular annual Oscar preview takes a look at the 2019 Best Original Scores nominees. Actually, tonight is the Oscars, isn't it?
I think so.
I heard about it. I have not seen a fucking movie in the theaters.
Yeah, just watched The Joker.
In the last 3 years, I've only seen the 2 Star Wars movies in the theater. That's it. For the PTBN Poppin' Memoriam special, Andy is joined by Scott, Steve, and Tim to look back at the celebrity deaths from 2019. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gems, Body Press Your Luck, PTB NXT, and so much more. So subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed, as well as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in round 3. There will be 4 matchups per day, so make sure to like the tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. And I'm actually really pissed off I don't know if you saw, Frasier got blown out by Boy Meets World.
I think what
happened with the Friends thing came where a fan page for Boy Meets World got a hold of it. Listen, something like that, because there was like 500 votes.
Don't get me wrong.
Boy Meets World is fun. It's not better than Frasier. Frasier should have won the whole thing.
Was hilarious, but it might have been a little too highbrow.
Oh, you calling the voters some Philistines?
I mean, I don't understand half the jokes on there, but I know it's funny.
Icarus flew too close to the sun. I fucking love Frasier. It's the greatest show ever. Anyway. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget out... Oh my god, my tongue. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Pauly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Mare Bear, put us over.
All right, guys. Always keep it locked into our Twitter feed. You can always hit us up at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. We like to post our favorite screen grabs from each week and... You know, put up some fun polls.
Also, we are the unofficial Dallas Renegades XFL franchise fan account now.
Apparently. That's all.
While the XFL is in season, go Renegades.
That's all Kevin, guys. But if you're not on Twitter, you can always reach out to us via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts, feelings. If you hate us, if you curse us, or if you think Kevin's wrong about dinner party still.
A lot of people.
Let us know.
Send us some hate mail. Because we're not getting any kind of mail, so hate mail was better than nothing. Let's go.
That is true. But again, guys, Twitter, at Brother Sister Podcast.
No. Oh, my God. Oh. Start over. We're not going to edit this out. Start over.
Sorry, guys. I'm the worst. I'm reading this off a post-it, and I still can't fucking get it right. All right. Twitter, at Brosis Podcast. Via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And share the show around. We would greatly appreciate it, you guys.
We love all of our new listeners.
Oh, yes.
So, hey, guys. We do love to interact. So,
oh, yeah.
Hit us up.
So, that brings us to Season 5, Episode 8, Business Trip.
Yes.
Which we'll start right now. Any thoughts initially on this one?
David Wallace finally gives us an insight to the fucking timeline that we're on.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. Which, again, is because... Okay, so...
I break it down.
You break it down?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start off with the cold open, where Michael is discussing international customs to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how the Japanese always commit suicides to prevent embarrassing themselves.
Wow.
And Italians wash their hands after going to the bathroom because it's polite. Not that everybody does. Only Italians do that.
Ugh.
So he explains that he's going on an international business trip to Canada.
Yes.
For there's some kind of... What?
No, just international business trip to Canada.
Yeah, I know. It sounds so exotic.
Yeah.
So Mike pretends that Meredith is from Abu Dhabi. He throws his jacket over her face and says, "You are now beautiful in that culture."
Oh, my God. Poor Meredith.
That is hilarious.
Poor Kate Flannery.
I love her. That's funny stuff. So the show proper opens, and Jim is arriving at sunup. Bright and early, he's whistling.
Yep.
He's got a skip in his step because it turns out Pam is coming back in a week. Yep. 7 days. So Kevin slaps his ass at the coffee.
No, right?
Yeah, like a locker room. Just like right on
Jim's
ass.
Get it, boy. Get it.
Creed puts his arms on his shoulder from behind and whispers in his ear.
Yeah, he's like,
7 more days.
It's like super creepy.
Oh, very. And Jim's face relays that.
Yeah.
And Phyllis and Stanley are just smiling creepily at him.
No, I love Phyllis like, "Oh, 7 more days so soon." And Stanley just goes,
"You're going to get the sex, boy."
Right?
Like that. So Michael is on the phone with David Wallace in his office, and he's going to buy a sweater with his per diem for the trip.
His $50 per diem. Yes.
So he tells Michael to use the concierge. for some nightlife if he wants. And Michael is like amazed that they have one. He's like, they have one of those?
Yeah.
Like he's going to get to use this crazy concept. He's leaving. Okay. Oh, I missed that.
That's when.
So
yeah,
Wallace is sending him as a make good for the Holly thing.
Yeah.
To like, because Michael's been down since Holly had to get moved, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna send Mike on a trip, and yeah, I think he'll enjoy himself. And also, it's very hard to get anybody to go to Winnipeg
in mid-November. Okay, guys, I went back.
Okay,
I did some research
to weight loss part one when they put the date up.
That was June 30th.
Okay.
So if we're assuming that Pam didn't leave until the next week, that's 4th
of
July
week. Yeah.
But typically, schools don't start until like mid to late August.
Well, the summer
so
classes.
So we're going, yeah, but she's going for 3 months.
Yeah, she's still there.
July, August, September.
October.
Okay.
Mid-November.
Yeah.
And she's still there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, if she left in mid to late August.
Yeah, because usually it's like the second week of December.
Stretch,
the second week of December.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, all right, guys, this timeline, it's not been 3 months.
And you know what?
It's been like 5 months.
You know what the other thing that is like fucked up about it?
Hmm.
So like.
Tell me all about it, dude.
They could say like, oh, she's moving now to acclimate.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as she went there, she started doing classes.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that first episode, like because we saw
her. She walked into the wrong class.
Yeah. So she started going to class in the summer during the weight loss challenge.
Yeah.
And she, like, this is the weirdest schedule. Like, they're just doing it. You know, I understand.
Yeah.
It's a plot device. But
I just wish that they never said, like, oh, it's 3 months.
Yeah. Like,
just say it's a semester.
Just say she's going for a semester. That's nebulous enough.
Exactly.
But otherwise, like, it's so stupid, you know?
Because if it's mid-November, then that means that she's going to be home before Thanksgiving. And college courses, I don't care what fucking college you go to. Their semesters end at least in December.
Early, yeah, first, second
like
week
mid,
of December.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we've cleared that up, the whole Pam dilemma.
That timeline is just fucked, guys. Sorry, it is.
So Michael comes out with two extra suitcases that he says he'll fill with souvenirs.
Yep.
Once again, like he's going to like the Persian Gulf or something.
Yeah, I mean, my husband wanted to do that in Orlando because we're like huge Marvel fans, but we didn't. We didn't do that. We brought, like, an extra duffel bag with us.
And did you fill it?
No!
I was going to say, like, I wouldn't even have time. I'm also cheap. I wouldn't want to buy souvenirs.
Well, no,
I
mean,
like, the pictures are enough.
We were actually, like, super let down because Marvel is really big in Disneyland in California, but not in Disney World in Florida.
Why wouldn't they be even?
I mean, there's more rides and like, they actually are creating, like, a Marvel universe. They're just getting the first ride in Disney World, like, next year.
Which one is the World?
World is Florida, land is California.
Okay. Now, I am not a Disney person. I'm not a theme park person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is all kind of Greek to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't understand why the California one would get precedence over the Florida one.
I wouldn't say precedence. I think it's just a matter of space.
Oh, okay.
Like, there...
Isn't the Florida one built second, though? So they could have, like, planned it more...
Yeah, but the second one also has four worlds.
What?
But they also just came out with, like, the Millennium Falcon thing. Like, the Marvel stuff over there has been out before the Star Wars one.
So is there a Star Wars world over?
Oh, yeah, in Florida, yeah.
No, but in Cali?
Yeah.
Oh, there. So Cali's got everything, and Florida's just like, fuck
I wouldn't
all.
Say everything, because we have four parks.
Don't say we.
Yeah, the East Coast
us
has
East Coaster,
four parks.
Yeah, us East Coasters.
Versus just one park in California.
Okay.
But it's just, I think it's just a matter of space because Florida, there's not much room for them to expand in Florida because obviously as soon as that went in, hotels popped up everywhere.
I would say like Central Florida wasn't really a big hub
until
Disney was there. Yeah.
Now it's the theme park capital of the world.
Well,
there's more theme parks per capita.
The more you know. All right. So Michael is leaving. Oscar and Andy are going on the trip with him. Oscar is like depressed.
Oh, my
total,
God.
Total Eeyore.
The numbers guy is like, I'm here.
Andy's wearing a red beret because he's the translator because he knows French.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah, I'm thinking of like Home Alone.
Yeah.
Parlez anglais! I'm looking for my son! You know, like that whole fucking thing.
Incompetent.
Les incompetents. So Michael is in business. He's in business class on the plane. And he has a mimosa and a hot towel that's still wet that he used already. He has his personal DVD player. Andy also has one. He's playing Harry and the Hendersons.
Yep.
awesome movie.
Harry the Henderson.
Yeah, he yells it because he's got the fucking headphones on. Oscar made egg salad sandwiches. Oh. I can't think of anything more disgusting. And Michael even says it. So then Michael says, oh, I'd like to a menu to order a meal. Mm-hmm. But there's no meals on a flight with less than 2 hours. Yeah. So he says, okay, I'll put my blindfold on so I can take a nap. And as he's blindfolded talking to the camera, the fucking snack cart nails him right in the knee.
Yep.
So we see them. Oh, okay.
Also, but I have to ask, why does Michael get business class and his two coworkers? I mean, I get that.
Because Wallace underlings is looking out for him. Wallace wants to make it up to him somehow. Because
so he knows Michael's punishes depressed. Andy and Oscar for going on the same trip.
He doesn't punish them. It's not like they're riding with the cargo.
They're a coach.
So,
okay, coach, you saw the seat size difference. Let me just tell you, I got upgraded once.
Hey, everybody, look at this. Oh, Mary, I'm flying a plane.
It was legit, okay?
Well, you got one of those beds, right?
I got, got upgraded to first class on an international flight during work time.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And mine, turned into a bed. But I was also not on, I was upgraded, but not to first class the first time.
In first class, you get a king size bed, right?
No, in first class, you get your own pod.
That's creepy.
It has a little door on it. You don't see anybody else.
Hey, everybody, when the plane crashes, you'll already be in a coffin. That's fucking great. Awesome.
But anyway, but what I'm saying is
I think they were all supposed to get coach. But Wallace is he is really sad. I'm just going to give him this and just say it's because he's the manager.
That's fucked up.
Because he's the one.
I'd have been pissed.
Because he's the one running the sale, you know, so.
I guess.
Oh, Oscar made his sandwiches. No, he's fine. So we see Ryan goes back to the annex because when Pam comes back, he's going to be back there with Kelly. And he starts doing push-ups.
Yo, this is my fucking favorite.
He's doing push-ups to impress her. And she's like, well, I'm still with Daryl.
I love he's like, I guess this space is where I'll do my push-ups every day.
He's like, oh, oh. He's like,
and she's like, is that supposed to impress me? Yeah. And he does.
He
tries to do a one-arm push-up.
So Kelly does a talking head where she's like, it's not going to happen. He hurt me. That door is closed forever.
Yep.
And we go back and they're just making out on her desk fucking
indiscriminately pushing shit
horny off. Teenagers just throwing shit around. It's eating face. So they arrive at the hotel, Michael, Oscar, and Andy. And Andy and Michael go to the concierge, who is a lovely woman played by Wendy. Oh my God, McClendon Covey. That's her name. She is the mother from the Goldberg. She was
also in Officer, Reno 911.
Yeah, Officer Clementine on Reno 911. Everybody knows her.
She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah, she's cool. And but she's hates her life. Okay. She's very dull.
I have a question, though, because Michael then goes on to say, how a concierge is basically a geisha. Modern geisha.
Yeah.
She's trained in the art of fanciness and pleasure.
Michael doesn't know what a concierge is.
Okay, yeah, what, and this is one of my questions on this episode, what the fuck is Michael confusing concierge with? What term?
I think he's...
concubine? That's the only thing I could think.
I don't know.
And, what made him think that she was...
I think that's why he lit up when Wallace told him that they had one.
What is he confusing it with? That's what I mean.
He thinks it's a geisha. First of all, what if it was a male concierge? That's the thing I'm looking at. What if that was the case? So, yeah, I think, concubine or something like that is
definitely... That's the only thing that could come to my mind. I was concubine. Concierge, concubine. I mean, two totally different things, but okay.
And she's, very robotic, They ask her, where we can go, and she's like, oh, well, this place has a view, blah, blah. You can take the taxi here and that. She's doing her job. And Andy says, on a Winnipeg night like this, where we'd go for some nightlife. And she says, the Huntsman in the business district.
I love her accent, though. The Huntsman is very good.
she didn't have, a French accent.
She did.
No, she didn't.
It was a Canadian French accent.
Hey there. What, a hoser?
Or
are you saying a Quebecer?
Quebecer.
I didn't pick that up at all. Really? Yeah.
Why do you think they needed Andy as the translator for French?
They're in Winnipeg. Winnipeg is not French-Canadian territory.
But why would they need a French interpreter?
I think he just brought Andy along because Michael thinks that Canada is exotic, so he thought he'd need a translator. Because Winnipeg is prairie country. That's where cowboys and shit are, in Manitoba.
Jesus Christ.
The only French Canadian speaking, one where it's the language, is Quebec.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so this whole thing is just, like, fucking insane. Like, yeah. It really is. So she's like, oh, the huntsman or whatever. And Michael does the talking head where he says, concierge is Winnipeg's version of a geisha.
Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck?
So we see Pam calls. She's calling Jim. She's upset. She's failing a class. And she'll have to retake it, and it means another 3 months away from Jim.
I'm sorry. You're going to move your ass to New York City for 12 weeks, pay tuition, pay to dorm.
Get a job for one Michael.
Damn class.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
So Jim tells her, you know, this is your dream. This is what you went out there to do. If you're coming home, you're doing it the right way. Which is kind of like the way I would probably tell her. I might not be as diplomatic as Jim Halpert.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, don't waste your fucking money, all right? You're coming back with a... First of all...
What degree did she get in three months?
Yeah, that's another thing. Unless this is like a crash course, like, I can't even imagine. Like, I don't even get it. Unless, I don't know, a certificate, maybe?
Isn't it an adult certificate?
I have no clue. But anyway, Jim tells her, like, if you're coming home, do it the right way, Pam. Mm-hmm. So we go back. Andy, Mike, and Oscar go to the Huntsman. They walk in, and they see her at the bar, concierge Marie. And Oscar says, I think I'll leave after one drink. To which Andy responds, with a hot slab of Canadian bacon in your hand.
Oh, my God.
Which is so Jesus Christ. Funny. And the thing is, like, Oscar's just like, huh? Like, it's so awesome. It's so, like, it's almost like Andy had that line prepared.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to make this really funny gay Canadian joke to you, Oscar. Like, that's exactly, like, how the character, like, it's portrayed. So Mike says hello, and he introduces them to concierge Marie, as he says, and he like hits on her, and then Andy gets them some wine and starts taking pictures of them with his little digital camera, and Oscar's like giggling like in the background.
I mean, now when he left, he did say he was going to get other dudes laid. So
that's right.
Andy is trying to be the wingman.
Well, that's the thing. When they walk into the Huntsman, Andy puts his arms out like
wings activated.
Yeah, he's a wingman because he's got Angela at home.
Yep.
So Andy and Oscar are sitting at the bar, purveying the scene or surveying the scene, and Andy spots two guys at a table, and he wants to hook Oscar up. So
and Oscar goes, he's like, how do you know they're even gay?
Yeah, and is Dandy Dale and Foppy McGee? Are you kidding? God. He's so dismissive of like gay culture.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
He's very like borderline on it. You know what I mean? But like it's done in a way that's like funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it. Like, because Oscar is just like, you know, he's an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's so ignorant. There's no point in even trying to correct him.
Yeah. So Andy gets two Long Island iced teas, which he describes as bad decisions in a glass. And he takes them over to the two guys, and they pretty much tell him, like, screw off. Like, yeah, leave us alone.
Get the fuck out of here.
So Andy goes back, says, you know, you struck out, Oscar. And they start drinking the Long Island iced teas.
Which is always a mistake.
Yes. So meanwhile, Michael is in a booth with concierge Marie, and he's like giving her scenarios. It's Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock, I need my dry cleaning done. And she's like, astral cleaner. Like, he's like testing her knowledge.
He is.
But he's like amazed by it at the same time. He's like, oh my God, that's amazing. So Oscar and Andy now we see are drunk. Very drunk. Andy is
Long Island iced teas, I'll do you in every time.
Andy is the sloppy slurring drunk. Oscar is like the giggly drunk.
He is, he's like a giggly little high school girl. Yeah. Like,
Oh my God. So Oscar like asks him, how can you stand Angela? And like as Andy and Oscar are having this back and forth, we see Mike and Marie leaving and then making out in the alley before walking off. And Andy says, like, Angela is like this hard, menacing exterior with a jelly middle inside, I guess.
The gooey jelly inside.
Yeah, she's got a soft inside. And Oscar hates on her and tells him, like, call her and ask her what's her deal? What's wrong with her? And Andy's like... Andy does it because he's fucking shit-faced. And he's like, I can't wait to have sex with you. I want to see you naked.
Yeah. And they still haven't had sex yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, Andy actually tells Oscar that. He's like, are you waiting until marriage? He's like, I don't want to wait.
I don't know why we're waiting.
So Oscar is like...
But wait.
What?
Angela's on the phone.
Angela's all pissed off. And, of course, Oscar's like, oh, my God, you're going to call her. You're calling her.
Are you drunk?
And in the background, we hear... Who is that monkey?
we all know who calls her monkey.
Oh, yeah. And
he's gone for one night, goddamn.
And Andy's like all pissed off or all drunk and like, I want to see you naked. I want to see you naked. I want to have sex with you. And she like just hangs up and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Michael leaving a room. Without his shoes, his shirt is all over the place.
Is that a hotel room? Is it an apartment?
I don't know.
Maybe is it his hotel room?
He's getting kicked out of his own.
Yeah, like...
And then he's walking away, and then the door opens up, and Marie leaves his shoes out, and he goes back and gets them.
Well, because Michael's like, do you want to go get breakfast? And she's like, I'm just so tired. Like, get the fuck away from
me. She got what she wanted.
Yep.
So the next day, everyone in the office is staring at Jim. And they already know about Pam failing school.
And he's like, how do you all already know?
Yeah. And Dwight starts... This is hilarious.
this is perfect.
Dwight starts mocking her drawing. He's like, well, of course she did. Look at that drawing up there. The shadow's coming from two different sides. What, does it have two different suns? And everybody's like, Dwight, come on, stop it. And he's like, oh, come on, there's not even parking lot. There's not even lines for the parking space.
But I love, he's like, what, is there two suns? Is this office building in the Andromeda galaxy?
I would have... settled for a Tatooine reference, yeah. Personally, but that's good. And, like, Jim gets up to go to get coffee and get away. We see Andy and Oscar meet up in the lobby of the hotel, and Oscar thanks him for trying to hook him up. Like, yep. It means a lot to him. And he's like, I can't believe we called Angela.
Yeah.
And Andy's like, wait, what?
His fucking face drops. Yeah,
he thought it was a dream. He's like, I can't believe, no!
I didn't, that really happen?
Yeah. And like, Oscar's like trying to like calm him down, but Michael comes up and they have to go do their sale pitch, you know, sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ryan and Kelly come out from behind a soda machine, disheveled,
God.
Hot and ready. And he says like she has to break up with Daryl.
Yeah.
She has to do it. And he pulls out her phone.
Right? Why does he have her phone?
And he already wrote a text to do it.
Yep,
and
they're going to break up.
They hit send at the same time with their fingers. And he responds back immediately. It's cool. And Ryan is just like, wait, I thought you guys dated for a long time. She's like, we did. Oh, my God. This is so great. We're back together, Ryan. And, like, he's back to being like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he wanted the drama.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to ask you. What was his game here?
I think
because he was, like, all over Kelly. He wanted her to break up with Daryl. Then he got what he wanted. Like, what was he shooting for?
I think he wanted the drama.
So he lives off that.
Yeah.
So he hasn't left the rat race.
Nope, he has not left the rat race.
He's still playing for keeps.
Yep.
So, Daryl, we see Daryl leaving the warehouse doing a Vince McMahon strut.
Yeah, he's whistling.
Yeah, his arms are flying. He boop, boop. He unlocks his truck. He's like strutting. Oh, it's so great. Michael is in the office, or in Canada, in an office, mm-hmm. making the sale. And Andy and Oscar are waiting for the plane, and they kind of like have a moment where they're like bros. Andy tells Oscar that Angela has put them back at first base, which is forehead kissing. So Oscar,
yeah, at least he still gets the neck nuzzles.
So weird. Oscar and Andy had a good weekend, and Andy says, I had to come to Canada to get to know a guy I work away 20 feet away from every day, and he's delightful. He's like so happy.
Like so shocked.
He loves Oscar. Michael now is getting ready to board the plane. He's mm-hmm. on the phone with Wallace. Well, you know, he tells him, we made the sale.
It's two-year contract.
Like, and Wallace is like, oh, it sounds like you had a great week or a great weekend. And Michael, like, just rips him. He's just like, no, the trip sucked. The hotel sucked. Business class is lame. I had to get driven in a van. Like, he just starts going off. And you know he's just...
He's upset.
He's upset. And you know it's not for that because he actually enjoyed all that.
Yeah.
But then he just says, why did you make her move? Why did you
send her away?
You knew I liked her, David. And... Wallace is trying to explain himself, and Michael just is like hangs up
on him.
That's it.
And fucking CFO of your company, and you just hung up on him.
And then he does a talking head where he said he stayed at Dunder Mifflin so long, he could have made more money as a doctor or a lawyer.
Definitely not for the paycheck. Yeah.
But he stayed at Dunder Mifflin so long because they respect him. Because when you tell your boss off over the phone and just hang up on him, and they don't fire you, that means they respect you.
Which I don't agree with, but no, okay.
It's... Bizarre reasoning, but in a sense, it all happened, so there's some truth to it. We see Jim now leaving the office, and Pam is outside waiting for him. Oh, my God.
His face. Oh, my God.
Jim and Pam.
Every woman wants a man to look at her like that.
She tells him, like, she's leaving on her own terms. She doesn't care if she's doing it the wrong way.
She's like, I don't like graphic design. It's just logos.
Yeah, she hates graphic design. She missed him. She missed home. And as they embrace, Dwight appears, gives her some files to copy for him in the morning. And, and one last scene. Well, I want to go back to this. So Pam hates graphic design. This is one of those things that I think happens to a lot of people, whether they get a gig that they think they're going to love or they go to school for something they're going to love and they realize, like, it's not, it's, I don't get to do what I want to do. Yeah. There's, like, so much bullshit involved. So I like the realism to that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I like to draw. I don't like to be told what to do. Like, well, everybody has that, like, I want to do this, but if all this shit is attached to it, I don't want to do it, you know?
Like, it's, say you want to go for engineering and they make you take, like, electrical and mechanic, like, all different types of engineering. And you're like, yeah, but I only want to do this one. But the college goes, you have to take all of these classes to get your degree, though, so deal with it.
Or if you want to be a teacher and they say, oh, that's cool, but you have to abide by all of these standards. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with parents who all think their kids shit rosebuds.
Yep.
And you are only taught one way in college that you're supposed to teach kids rather than what works for you or individual students.
Yeah.
Like, that's the bullshit that people encounter in school and life and business and work, you know? Yeah. So, like, it's kind of bittersweet seeing her, like, kind of come to realize it, you know? Because she did have a passion for it that was, like, squashed. Because she even said, like, I hate all these computer parts to it. Like, people
But what kills me is that when they did the commercial, she's the one who did the animation on the computer.
Because it was a passion thing. It was something that she wanted to do.
You know what I mean? On the computer. She did it.
But she didn't have to take that class. What was it? Theory and new media and, you know, like, all that bullshit that, like, crushes you.
Yeah.
It crushes your love for something, you know? But we end the show with Kelly and Ryan back together. And again, she's like all over, oh my God, me and Ryan are back together. We're going to have so much fun. Oh my God. And he's just sitting there like
what the fuck did I do?
Like Adam Sandler in those SNL skits with when Chris Farley's the wife.
Dear God, give me cancer. Yeah.
Kill me now, God. Yes. That's how it is, essentially. And that's the show. So that's that episode. What did you give it?
I gave it a 4.0. I thought it was some ridiculous shit, but it was funny as hell.
Same exact score.
Really?
4.0.
Huh.
I liked it. Not as much as Customer Survey, but I liked it. It's getting into that territory now with Ryan and Kelly where it's almost like, well, what else do we do with these characters? We're going to go back to that. Like, I got a little bit of a vibe from that.
Okay.
I don't know if you did. But, like, again, it's, I wish they could introduce a love interest who does not work in the office. Like, that's their one Achilles heel. They tried it with, like, I think they tried it with Katie, was it Amy Hot Adams? Girl. Amy Adams.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't like the way it came out, so it, like, spooked them from trying it again or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just wish they could do that.
Hey, they have Bob Vance. He doesn't work in the office.
Oh, he's not around. Come on. When he is, I kind of dig him. But this is the thing, because, like, Jan worked for corporate.
Yeah.
And Holly was HR. And then Jim and Pam and Angela and Dwight.
And Kevin had a...
Kevin and...
Fiance. Not Kevin.
Yeah, and she broke up with him. Like, we never even met her. Yeah. But we got Ryan and Kelly. It's like, all right, whatever.
Angela and Andy.
Angela and Andy. Oh, God. Karen and Jim. Oh, my God. It's just, like, now that I'm, like, putting it out. Roy and Pam. Like, fuck. Everybody, it's, like, an incestuous.
Daryl doesn't have a girlfriend.
He had Kelly, though. He was with Kelly. Like, nobody has an outside relationship.
God damn.
That's just so, it's like a box of gerbils that just roll
Phyllis
over each other.
And Stanley do. And Toby did.
These people.
He was divorced, but
we never
met
any of them except on the booze cruise. We saw Stanley's wife, I think, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's like one thing. Like the whole Ryan Kelly thing. It's just like, okay, they're going back to this.
Well,
I don't know if there's
going to
be new ground covered.
Yeah, we'll see if it's any different.
My first thoughts, though, like my initial reaction is like, oh, okay.
But you have to remember, though, Ryan isn't in much different headspace now.
He got out of the
rat race.
He's
been knocked down. Before, he was still climbing the ladder, and he was, like, kind of just using Kelly as, like, biding his time.
But now we realize that he's, like, damaged. Mm-hmm. Like, hardcore, like she is.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Michael
stuff... He's an ex-felon.
Yeah, that's true. The Michael stuff is interesting in the fact that he had a one-night stand and felt so empty that he destroyed his boss over the phone for it. You know what I mean? Like, that hollow feeling that comes... Yeah, you get that, you know, five seconds of boost, that rush, you get it off, and then afterwards you're with a woman you don't know in a city that you're not familiar with, all alone, and Oscar and Andy are drunk giggling down in the bar. You know, like...
And
she kicks him out. Yeah, like he's just empty and hollow inside.
He can't even have a cuddle.
Yeah, he's lonely, and like that's the it's cutting. It's very cutting as a character. You don't think so?
You're like, no, it is. I just can't relate.
What do you think about? Well, I'm not asking you to relate, but you can understand though.
Yeah. So my questions were, and I think we kind of already covered them, like, why do you think Ryan and Kelly are back together?
I don't get it.
Because they're desperate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I still want to know what fucking term Michael confused concierge
with. That's killing me.
Like, the fact that he can go so off base, I need to know what he was thinking.
Send us your theories, please. We'd be greatly honored to read them. I'm very intrigued if that is a thing, or if he's just an idiot, or, I mean, it could be easily very explained possible. That way. But, I mean, I don't know. It was funny, but it wasn't that. It wasn't knockout funny.
Yeah, again, no, it was funny. I gave it 4.0. Like, yeah. I said, it was funny. I enjoyed it.
So are Jim and Pam, are they going to get married soon? Are we going to, like, finally put this one to bed?
Well, dude, they just got engaged a few weeks ago.
It doesn't matter. So did Andy and Angela, and they're planning their marriage.
Yeah, but they were also both in town.
Pam
was in school. She was focusing on Quark and all that other shit that they talked about.
Michael claimed that he was engaged to Holly after 2 months or whatever. So, anyway, overall, solid episodes this week. Big fan. What do we got next week?
Next week, we have episodes 9 and 10, Frame Toby.
Toby's back.
And The Surplus.
No clue. I'm assuming Toby's back, which we have missed him greatly.
He's either back or they're still framing him for something, but he's not there.
They're going to go to Costa Rica and get, like, a testimonial. That's fine. So that'll wrap up this episode, guys. So, as always, follow us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast or send us an email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Share the show around. Tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, your acquaintances, the guy who spots you at the gym, whoever. Just tell them, hey, you like The Office? I know this podcast where these two people talk about it.
Bullshit a lot.
They say curse words a lot because we've been told by a listener that we're vulgar. Not in a bad way, though. Just in, like, I didn't expect it to be so vulgar. Yeah. By the way. But,
spicy.
If you want to share the show around, we would greatly appreciate you taking any opportunity to help this show grow. It means a lot to us. We like doing the show. We love sharing it with you guys. We love hearing back from you guys. So that would be greatly appreciated. Anything you want to add, Bear?
No, just to make sure you guys reach out to us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast or send us your thoughts via email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
All right, and until next week, we'll catch you guys on down the road.
Bye, guys.
Flowers to my wedding, and I won't forget to put roses on your grave. Well, now when you're sitting back in your rose pink Cadillac, on Kentucky Derby days, I'll be in my basement room with a needle and a spoon and another girl to take my pain away. Take me down, little Susie, take me down. I know you think you're the queen of the underground. Send me dead flowers every morning. Send me dead flowers by the mail. Send me dead flowers to my wedding. I won't forget to put roses on your grave. Take me down. I know you think you're the queen of the underground. Send me dead flowers every morning. Send me dead flowers by the mail. Send me dead flowers to my wedding. And I won't forget to put roses on your grave. No, I won't forget to put